And turn with me to the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. If you did not get a listening guide on the way in, those are helpful. It can help you follow along. Not only does it have the sermon outline in there, but it can serve as a double fan. So you can have the hand fan and the listening guide, and you can have double air ventilation. But we're continuing our series in the book of Exodus. We're seeing how the God of the Exodus through Moses, as the Lord saved the people of Israel from slavery, is ultimately pointing us to the gospel of Jesus Christ and how the Lord saves his people from sin. So if someone asks you what the book of Exodus is all about, you can give the Sunday school answer and say, it's all about Jesus. And so we're going to see how that's true even of a chapter like Exodus 30, which is a little bit lengthy, and it deals with worship instructions for the tabernacle. But I hope that you're as excited as I am to see how a passage like Exodus chapter 30 is still about Jesus Christ. So, if you're there in your Bibles, or you can follow along on the screen here, let's hear the word of the Lord now, and the instructions that the Lord gave Moses in the tabernacle for worship. He said, you shall make an altar on which to burn incense, and you shall make it of acacia wood. A cubit shall be its length, and a cubit its breadth. It shall be square, and 2 cubits shall be its height. Its horns, which is a symbol of strength, shall be of one piece with it. You shall overlay it with pure gold, its top and around its sides and its horns. You shall make a molding of gold around it, and you shall make 2 golden rings for it. Under its molding, on 2 opposite sides of it, you shall make them, and they shall be holders for poles with which to carry it. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and you shall put it in front of the veil that is above the ark of the testimony, in front of the mercy seat that is above the testimony where I will meet with you. And Aaron shall burn fragrant incense on it. Every morning when he dresses the lamps, he shall burn it, and when Aaron sets up the lamps at twilight, he shall burn it, a regular incense offering before the Lord throughout your generations. You shall not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, and you shall not pour a drink offering on it. Aaron shall make atonement on its horns once a year. With the blood of a sin offering of atonement, he shall make atonement for it once in the year throughout your generations. It is most holy to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, when you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give a ransom for his life. That's a payment that sets free. Each of you shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord when you number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel is 20 gerahs, so it's about half an ounce is what the weight of this silver coin is. Half a shekel as an offering to the Lord. Everyone who is numbered in the census from 20 years old and upward shall give the Lord's offering. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel when you give the Lord's offering to make atonement for your lives. You shall take the atonement money from the people of Israel and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may bring the people of Israel to remembrance before the Lord, so as to make atonement for your lives. The Lord said to Moses, you shall also make a basin of bronze with its stand of bronze for washing. You shall put it between the tent of meeting and the altar, and you shall put water in it with which Aaron and his sons shall wash their hands and their feet. This is the first in the Bible of the all employees must wash hands before returning to work sign. The next time you see one of those, you can think, oh, even the priests had to do that. Verse 20. When they go into the tent of meeting, or when they come near the altar to minister, to burn a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash with water so that they may not die. They shall wash their hands and their feet so that they may not die. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring throughout their generations. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the finest spices of liquid myrrh, and I'll summarize here and we can speed ahead, but the Lord gives specific instructions on how to make the oil for anointing and the incense, which was to be burned on the altar of incense. And they get the oil to be placed on Aaron and on his sons, It is not to be placed on common persons, but only those who will serve the Lord. And you get a final warning, which comes in verse 37 and verse 38, that is holy to the Lord. Whoever makes any like it to use as perfume shall be cut off from his people. So we get this strong warning from the Lord as well. So that completes the instructions so far from Exodus chapter 30. Now, as we prepare our hearts to see how Exodus chapter 30 leads us to Jesus, I invite you to pray with me, and let's ask, as always, that God will give us ears to hear and hearts to do his word. Father in heaven, we do bow before you now. We thank you that you have graciously received our songs of praise and thanksgiving to you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our only Savior. It is by him that we are able to draw near to you, Lord. And each of us come here together, not simply as individuals, but as a collective people, needing to hear of your Son, Jesus Christ, again. So, Lord, help us to see your Son here in the pages of Scripture. Lord, renew our faith in him and strengthen our hearts to drink deeply of what is laid here in your word for us. We know that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So be our instructor now, Lord, we ask. Strengthen our hearts and our hands for greater service to you, Lord Jesus. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. All right, well, as I've already alluded to, the whole Bible ultimately points us to Jesus Christ. So as we look at Exodus chapter 30, we're going to see how Jesus is the Word through whom we worship. Jesus is the Word through whom we worship. You can think with me, perhaps, of all the different odors that we prefer to remove from ourselves, or odors that we prefer to include on ourselves. This passage is a lot about the incense, the fragrant incense, the anointing oil that has all kinds of fragrant aromas placed in it. And you know, that got me thinking about odors you prefer to not have on yourself, like body odor, right? Everyone's got it. Nobody wishes they had it. And you know, as you're sitting together, you're all's, you know, different deodorant and scents are getting, you're getting your money's worth out of that stuff right now, right? Body odor is not a scent that people prefer, but it's all something we got. Another odor we prefer to remove from ourselves, at least for myself, is a dog's terrible bad breath. My dog has this terrible habit. Whenever I sit down to eat, he's a very social dog. He likes to sit right next to me and look right up at me, wagging his tail, and it's just a wonderful smell. When I bend down to take a bite of my food, I get hit with this blast of humidity. Just my dog's breath is just breathing on me while I'm eating my food. I'm like, go sit somewhere else, dude. Like, I do not want to smell my dog breathing all over me while I'm sitting there eating. Or maybe some of you took a long trip here. You probably rode up in one of those 15-passenger vans, which God bless those of you in the back seat, because the windows don't really roll down. Everyone's fighting over the air vent position. And if somebody passes gas in that car, you know, you turn immediately to them and say, what is the matter with you? Don't you know we're a captive audience in here? We are trapped inside of this van. We're going to throw you out of this van if you do that again, right? So those are odors that we prefer to fragrances we wish not to have on ourselves. But then there's pleasant aromas, things that we love, smells that we prefer. Anybody walk into Hobby Lobby recently? I love walking into Hobby Lobby or Michael's and just getting hit with the signature smell of cinnamon pine cones. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You walk into any craft store? I know. You know, and I always find myself telling my wife, I'm like, we need to buy 5 bags of cinnamon pine cones. I want this aroma to fill the entire house. And my wife says, not so much. I'm not really feeling that, you know. And so, but I always go stop by the cinnamon pine cone basket, breathe in deep. Or when we take a trip down to Alabama to visit my wife's parents, I forget, it's called like pork bellies or fat bellies something, barbecue, and they always got meat out there smoking, right? We could have just ate Wendy's like 10 miles ago, but when we drive by that barbecue smoker, I'm like, we got to hit that on the way out of here, right? And we change maybe the plan of our day to stop by and get some of those barbecue ribs or whatever your favorite barbecue meat is later. You guys can talk about that. But you know what I'm talking about. These are all smells that we prefer to bring near to ourselves. If you went on a first date or a wedding anniversary, ladies and guys alike, you want to smell good for the other person. Ladies, you probably have your favorite scented spray that you have. Fellas, if you're going out on a date, you are at least doing the armpit check and making sure that you smell ready for the occasion. I share all these examples to say, in the pages of Scripture, what we just read are the preferences of God. In the pages of Scripture, in Exodus chapter 30, what you just read are God's preferences for His worship. Okay? So we're learning that the worship of God is not by presumption, and it's not by our preferences. The way that we worship God is according to His permission and His prescriptions written in the pages of Scripture. You and I learn how to worship when we look to the Word. The reason why so many people don't know what God wants or how to worship God is for a neglect of the Word. Now, a passage like this meets us, and you know, immediately when we talk about being able to offer ourselves and worship to God, your first thought this morning, you might have felt it this week, you might have felt it first thing when you woke up, you might have felt it last night on your way in before coming to church, is, does God really want my worship? I know God wants to be worshipped in general, He might want other people to worship Him, but you might genuinely wrestle with, as I can at times, does God really want my worship? Does He really want me to serve Him? Or the shoe might be on the other foot. You might think, is God really worthy of my worship? I mean, you might have things that you really love, but it's good to examine ourselves and say, where does God fit on the love for my heart? Do I really love Him? Or is my worship of God something I do for an hour on Sunday? Because it's supposed to last beyond Sunday into our lives throughout the week. And so we're told the good news through the Bible that through Jesus, this is a wonderful message, God does want your worship. God does want my worship. And through Jesus Christ, we learn that He is worthy of it. God is worthy of offering ourselves to Him. Jesus is God the Son who drew near to us so that we could draw near to God. The New Testament tells us that Jesus is the Word of God made flesh, which means that Jesus reveals God. Jesus has come to rescue sinners. And Jesus has come to relate all the Word to Himself. So we look at Exodus chapter 30, and we say, how do we see Jesus in this passage? And how is He the Word through whom we worship? And first of all, we see from even a passage like this in Exodus that Jesus is our way of access to God. Jesus is our way of access to God. If you have your Bible open, in the previous chapter, we learned how regular dudes like Aaron and his sons were able to come near to the Lord. The Lord had said in chapter 29, verse 44, I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests, and I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. So don't miss this. The priestly duties were only given to people who were first prepared by the Lord. The priestly duties were given to people, not who volunteered, not who were willing and able, not who campaigned for it, but the priestly duties were given to people who had been prepared by the Lord. They had to come as they were, but the Lord was going to change them into what they needed to be, which is exactly how any of us comes to Jesus Christ. We can only come to Him as we are, but then He most definitely changes us into what we need to be. We cannot stay the same. No person can serve the Lord until the Lord changes that person. And the things that we have to be changed from, and the things that the Lord sets us apart from, in a word, is our human sinfulness, our human corruption, the sinfulness that brings condemnation before God. We read in the Psalms last week, O Lord, if You should mark iniquities, if You should keep track of them, O Lord, no one could stand before You. We need to be set apart from human sinfulness. And the only way to do that is not through your talents or your skills or your money. It's not through your good looks. It's, the Bible teaches, the way we're set apart from human sinfulness is through substitutionary sacrifice, which has been mercifully foreshadowed in the Old Testament and pictured perfectly for us in Jesus Christ. The Lord told Aaron, I'm going to make your service possible. I'm going to make your service provided for, and I promise that when you do these things according to what I command, I will meet with you, and you will minister, and you will represent the people before Me. So the thing with the Old Testament sacrifices was, if you could remember this, all these Old Testament sacrifices of all the bulls and the rams and the goats, they all had to be repeated, which means all these Old Testament sacrifices, they were only a reminder of sins, but they could not release the sinner. And so hear me this morning. as we think about being able to offer ourselves to the Lord in worship, the laws of God is no ladder that we can climb. You might be want to stack yourself up and see how you compare and evaluate your preparation, how prepared you are to offer yourself according to the laws of God. Listen, the laws of God is no ladder that we can climb. The laws of God only reveal our fallenness and our sinfulness. They are there to lead us again and again to the cross of Jesus Christ, where God says, I set you apart from your sins through the substitutionary sacrifice of my Son. Listen to Mark 10:45. We're talking about wanting to serve the Lord, and Jesus Christ said this, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. To serve who? To serve you and me. It says, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus came to be the price that had to be paid to set you and I free from our fall into sinfulness. Jesus Christ is the release from our sins by being the one who was willing to die in our place. He had no reason to be on the cross, no guilt of his own, but was willing to suffer for the sins that we have committed. And Jesus Christ releases us from our sins because he has satisfied the wrath of God on the cross. That when he died in our place, Jesus didn't just show us the way. Jesus showed us he is the way. He is the way for us. And that's why we sing, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. When Jesus died on the cross, he secured a release from the sins of those who believe in him. He is our access to God. He's not just my access, he's your access. And faith in that sacrifice of Jesus Christ hides you in him so that his sacrifice covers not just some other person's sins, but your sins. We can sing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. It's the old song, be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. You're not going to find any other way of access to God. And in Jesus Christ, when you believe in him, you need no other means of access to God. He takes you not in part, but fully unto himself. And I say all these things to say, how strange if you and I tried to start working someplace where we had not been properly hired. Imagine you stopped somewhere at an ice cream place this week and you just tried to hop behind the counter and started scooping it yourself. And be like, you want to watch how fast the team of ice cream scoopers will knock you on the head and drag you out of there, right? Or I've been to Home Depot before where I knew this one guy. He had some problems. We'll just leave it at that. He had it in his mind that he was employed at Home Depot. And he would walk around the store and he would interrupt people and say, what are you looking for? You know, and they're like, do you work here? And he'd be like, I mean, you know, not really, but I know enough. And he tried to take them around and start acting like they work here. And they'd chase this guy down and they'd be running him out of the store, right? But it makes all the difference in the world when you are properly hired in and you belong there and the boss knows your name and the boss wants you there and you go through training and your position is not one that's temporary, but it is permanent. You have permanent access there. In the same way, we don't serve the Lord to be saved from our sins. The good news of the gospel is Jesus saves us from sin that we may in turn then serve him. So hear it again, if it hasn't been plain or if you need the reminder this morning, there is no work of the law that you can return to or fall back on or need to pick up again today that will make you more able to worship the Lord. There's no works of the law that can make you more ready to serve him. It's only faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time in conversion and again as you walk with him. Faith in the gospel releases you from sin and makes you ready to serve the Lord. And we can't buy our way in. We have to be brought in by the blood of Jesus Christ. So as you think about that and you examine yourself and you consider others, hopefully, as you hear that good news of the gospel that you can have access to God. You can be saved from sin through Jesus Christ. That's not only just a message for you, but it is a message for others. You need to be able to proclaim the gospel to others in a way that says access to God is not something you can ignore. Access to God is not something you can improvise. You may be sitting here today and say, I don't need to be saved. You know, that's just for other people. I don't need to get saved. There is no means of improvising our way to access to God. It involves turning from sin and trusting in Jesus Christ. being reconciled to God through Him. It looks like despairing of our works and of our wisdom and depending on the grace of Jesus alone. And when we do that, you will have the hope of heaven and you will have God's wisdom guiding your life. But take this to heart. Before you serve Him, Jesus must save you. And I find what a comfort in this, that for we who are saved, man, our service to God is secured through Jesus Christ. Anybody ever go through a performance review at work? You know, they put it on the calendar, they sit you down, they tell you how your work is going. Well, as a Christian, your performance review every day reads this. No matter what, the things you've gotten right and the things you have totally blown this past week, what reads on your performance review is being perfected in the blood of Jesus Christ. A work still in progress that is being perfected in the blood of Jesus. Because it's not how great your obedience is that determines your access to God. It is the blood of the Lamb. And that's why every day we're able to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Strengthen me. It's a new day. I'm ready to serve you. So all this by way of saying, Jesus is the Word through whom we worship, first of all, because He's our access to God. He is our way of coming to the Lord. And He's not just good enough for you. He is good enough for anybody whom you will meet. Now, moving on from this, we see that Jesus is not only our way of access, but He is our way of giving acceptable worship. So we read about really four things. You've got the altar of incense in here, right? You've got the census tax. We have the anointing oil and the basin for washing. What do we do with these things? Is there any altar of incense in here this morning? Nope, we don't have one of those. Did anybody charge you a tax when you came in here? Jerry, did you shake anybody down when they walked through the doorway? Nope, we didn't do any taxes this morning. Did you get any anointing oil placed on you when you walked in here? No, some of you are probably sweating enough. You don't need any more oil on you, right? So what are these things as we look at them? Well, we'll do our best to look at these and say, what is the Lord's preferences in His temple? And what does that mean today? Because the temple is you and I as followers of Jesus Christ. The Spirit dwells in us. What kind of fragrances, if you will, does the Lord prefer to be offered from our lives? How does the Lord wish that you and I would smell to Him this week? Because after all, we have access to God through Jesus Christ. What can we give that the Lord will find acceptable? Well, this altar of incense is a symbol of continual prayer being offered up to God. If you're smart and you're reading and you're listening along, you'll consider that the altar for sacrifice, which was outside the tabernacle, was to have continual bloodshed on it of animal sacrifices. But inside the Lord's presence, He wants an altar burning night and day of fragrant incense, which is a symbol that God wants to hear the prayers of His people night and day and night, at all times and in all things. The times when you're happy, the times when you're anxious, the things that cause you to praise God, and the things that are causing you problems in your life. The Lord says acceptable worship is continual prayers being offered to Him. David says this in Psalm 141, verse 1 and 2. O Lord, I call upon You, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to You. Let my prayer be counted as incense before You. How about in Luke chapter 1, when Zechariah is in there praying? It says the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the hour of incense. It means he's in there putting new incense on the altar. And it said there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. So this is a symbol of what's acceptable worship to God is the continual prayers of His people. Consider that Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 7, lives forever to make intercessions for us. Remember, He tells Peter, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat in Luke chapter 22. Peter, you're about to really go through it. You're going to deny me, but I've prayed for you, Peter. You know that Jesus is praying for you if you believe in Him, continually offering requests to the Lord. Consider Romans chapter 8, that the Spirit is interceding for us. But catch this, it's only when we pray. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. Prayer is difficult, isn't it? Immediately we talk about worship, and we start with the hardest thing. We do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, the Bible says, himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. What does that mean? That means when we're praying to God and we are struggling to find the words and we think, this sounds ridiculous because I don't feel like I make much sense. The Bible says the Spirit within you is groaning to God, and God, like a father, understands what his children are crying out to him for. And the Bible says that the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Let me tell you, there is nothing more important in worship and as a Christian than the regular prayers we make to God. You know what's humbling to read about this verse? Is that God says, I don't want anything else on that altar of incense. You can't put anything else on that altar. And if you leave it empty, I will know. We can't give works. We can't give service. We can't give kindness to others. The Lord says he wants continual prayer. Nothing else is to be accepted in the place of prayer. You know, I worked at Ruby Tuesday, and I love the cheeseburgers. My favorite thing on the menu was the Smokehouse Barbecue Burger. It came with like a quarter pound of meat with like probably a half pound of bacon on there, barbecue sauce and cheese. I used to eat that thing every night until I started to not feel well. And I thought to myself, you know what? It might be this barbecue bacon cheeseburger I eat every night after work with a side of fries. Well, I love that restaurant, but man, the kitchen was terrible. So like we'd get busy, and like as soon as any pressure was on, like the kitchen just caved in, man. They like forgot how to cook everything. I don't ever forget, one day we're flying food out to the table, and we're like, the table's been waiting for an hour. We finally get the plate out there, and they had a burger bun, but guess what was missing on the plate? No burger on the bun. No burger on the bun. The person looked down and said, does this look acceptable to you? And it's so funny because we do the same thing as followers of Christ. We got all the fixings on the plate. We got the fries of good works. We got the bun of Sunday worship. We got a Bible reading on the side that we do. But the meat of actually stopping and praying to God is often missing on the plate of our worship. And so prayer, it's not an afterthought in the Christian life. It is the first thought of the Christian life. And for all of us, this is probably a humbling thing to realize I need to quit offering a worship to God that is lacking in prayer. A life before God that is absent of prayers. We should pray at all times and in all things. Planned prayer and unplanned prayer. The next time you have a concern or a problem that crosses your mind, just consider how much immediately praying on it will change the entire outlook of the thing as we learn to pray to the Lord first. Our prayers are accepted not because of our piety or our sincerity, Spurgeon said. Our prayers are accepted because of the blood of Jesus shed in our place. We should not neglect prayer. Jesus shed his blood for us to be able to continually offer those things to the Lord. Spurgeon also said that prayer moves the hand that moves the world. And I've heard another preacher say, you know, you can't always talk to people about God, but you can always talk to God about people. You might have a person in your life that you wish was different than they were. Are you praying to the Lord about that person? We can give continual prayers to the Lord. Moving on from this, the census tax. It's not an atonement for a sin offering. It is actually an atonement in terms of showing you're there to serve the Lord. The half shekel is about the weight of a half dollar made out of silver. The poor and the rich gave the same amount. And it was to show that it was not like you had, it's not about how much money you had that you could buy your way in or bribe your way in. God says to the rich, I don't need all your money. I just need half an ounce of silver. And to the poor, I know you're poor, but you owe this to me because I've redeemed you to be my people. It's a duty that had to be given to the Lord. So note that the tax, it wasn't supposed to be given from people who were outsiders. And basically people think, you know, that the Lord just wants money from wherever he can get it. That's not the case. And sometimes I'll regularly say at Gateway, if you're not a Christian, don't give an offering. Because it's really a debt of gratitude that we give to the Lord in response to the grace that he has given to us. And the Lord really doesn't need our money. We give of our offerings to the Lord because it loosens our hands that we might learn to love the Lord with our hearts. No matter how old you are or how young you are, always remember that even our money is to be used in offering to the Lord and service to him. Now, the basin for washing, I joked about that. kind of like the all employees must wash their hands sign. And the Lord says when they come near, they need to wash, or else what happens under the old covenant? They shall die. That's kind of shocking to read that. But we read this, and what you can find in a verse like this is that the outward cleansing that was to be taking place is really just a symbol for the inward cleansing of our hearts in preparation to serve the Lord. And it's a picture that through Jesus Christ, He doesn't wash us just with physical water. Jesus Christ washes us by the Spirit. When we are born again to believe in Jesus Christ, He has washed us not with water, but with something better than that, with the Holy Spirit. And think about all the continued ways when you have desired to stray into sin or to not give service to the Lord, the Holy Spirit convicts you. As I always joke, one of the hardest things about becoming a pastor is that people start avoiding you because you kind of become like the active sense of the Holy Spirit in people's life. And people don't talk to you about how life's really going. But you can't get away from me, but we can't get away from the Holy Spirit. And He's there to continually wash us. He makes our hearts places like an altar that is ready to offer serving to the Lord. So what kind of relevance does this have for us today? Well, you know, in a time where the quantity of life, how much life we're living, how large are we living, or in a time where the quantity of what we do is what everyone is paying attention to, think, for example, when you introduce yourself to somebody, how quick you are to talk about what you do, not just simply what you're like. This passage is very instructive because it turns us just from the quantity of our serving to the quality of it. The Lord says to us that everything we do has to be washed by the Spirit of God. All the work that we do, all the parenting that we do, all the painting of houses we will do this week, all the friendship we have, if you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, if you have a husband or a wife, the way you are in those relationships, all of our interactions have to be washed by the Spirit of God. There needs to be a spiritual quality to all that we do. It's not simply a quality of what we're doing. The Lord told Aaron and the priests, you must wash before you serve me. And so we need, how do we get washed by the Spirit, right? Well, the Bible says that the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So in other words, you need to take a bath daily in the water of God's Word. It's the soap of the Christian life. And if you don't soap up in the Bible regularly, you're going to stink. And you're going to think, I'm awesome. I am God's gift in all that I do. But others around you are going to say, actually, you kind of stink a little bit. You need to spend some time in the Scriptures that it would wash you and prepare you in the way that you're serving. So part of acceptable worship in anything that we're doing is you need to be washed by the Spirit. Not just consider what you're doing, but what are you like? It's good to ask yourself, what am I like to the Lord and to the people around me? Has it been washed in the Word of God? Am I being found acceptable to Him? Because worship is never just something we tell the Lord, well, this is what I have. Just take it and be happy with it. So, you know, I'll close in this picture here. You know, it's good to think about the way we smell to the Lord. A family member of mine, 2 years ago, he was sick with coronavirus, didn't know it. He's a younger person, so he was pretty strong enough to still go out, go shopping. He went shopping for scented candles around the holiday. And he went into the first store, and he started pulling candles off the shelf. And he's giving these things a long, deep breath, you know, speaking of aromas. And he says, none of these candles smell like anything. Who would pay $35 for a candle that smells like nothing? And so he spent about 10 minutes in there. He put all the candles back on the shelf. He crossed the shopping mall to the competitor candle store. This time I think it was a Yankee Candle or something like that. Starts pulling the candles off the shelf, uncorks them, still no smells. And he says, what is wrong with these stores? They're all selling candles that got no smell. And then it finally dawned on him, I'm sick with COVID. I've lost my sense of smell. He finally realized it wasn't the stores that was the problem. It was himself who'd lost his sense of smell. In a similar way, we need a wake-up call to remember that it's through Jesus, He's the Word through whom we worship, all these ways we've laid out, to examine ourselves and say, how am I smelling? How is the scent of my service to the Lord? Because now that we've looked at the Word, we know our way of access, and we know what is acceptable to the Lord. So Let Jesus be the word who tests your worship. Maybe you have some quality issues that need some attention as you look at your life and you consider what you're offering to the Lord. Be encouraged. Jesus is the word who transforms our worship. He is able to put your life on the altar of being an offering to the Lord. By His blood, by His Spirit, through His word, the Lord wants your offering. He wants your service to Him. And Jesus is not just the word that can teach you how to worship. But when you meet other people this week, when you interact with others, Jesus said, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Give people the word about Jesus Christ. You give them the word from your mouth. Jesus does the teaching that can only take place in the heart. Don't hold back the word about Jesus Christ from others, because He is their way of access to God, and He is their way of learning how to offer their lives in worship to Him. I invite you to pray with me, and we'll close this morning. Father in heaven, we thank You for so great a gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. He is the greatest thing that we need. He is the best thing that we have, Lord. We are reminded how we're not able to just offer ourselves to You as we are. We needed His sacrifice on the cross to take away our sins. Thank You for the gift of faith in Your Son. Lord, thank You for the reminder of Your word that You have preferences of what acceptable worship is to You. Lord, forgive us for the ways that we often make prayer an afterthought, or Lord, the ways that we try to do things by just relying on our own strength instead of offering them in a spiritual way. Lord, thank You that You're patient with us, and Lord, we want to continue to grow more and more to be the kind of people who learn what pleases our Father, and we offer ourselves again and again in service to You according to the way that You want it, Lord. Thank You for being such a good Father. Thank You that we can continue to serve You. We pray that as we show others the love of Jesus this week, that it would be a light for His gospel message. And we pray that You would draw people to Yourself through Jesus. And we pray these things in His name. Amen.